Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode. I am Michael Petro, and on the show for you this week, you've got Rob Strachan, Mark Cowell, and myself talking Christmas movies. We start the show off with what movies get us in the mood for Christmas time. What's that yearly movie that once you put it on the screen, you're like, man, break out the eggnog and the rum, break out Santa Claus, break out some Coca-Cola polar bears. Who knows, right? Whatever makes you think of Christmas and all the fun things that come with the holidays. What's that one movie? What Christmas tropes we love, how we like to digest our Christmas movies. Like what are the real life themes that we like to see in some of these films? And lots more on this week's episode. So that's who's on. Apologies, we couldn't make the Park Theater. We just ended up having too much fun at our Christmas party. We had never had dinner together, which is sad because like I'm in charge of that. So maybe mental note, Michael, like more dinners, more fun times outside of the studio. Anyways, Martin came to town. We just wanted to hang out and we kind of lost track of time. And it didn't work out with what we had planned for the evening. So we didn't show up. So apologies to everybody who was hoping we might have been there. I'm sure there's like two of you. But if you were hoping we'd be there, sadly, we are sorry. We will try again in the new year. Besides that, we got one more episode. Then we close out 2021. That's it. We'll have a year in review for you in the future. And in January, we got a bunch of new ideas. We're pondering a different live venue altogether, actually, and running our own thing in 2022. So stick around for that. The easiest way to do so is just follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Search Real Debaters or The Real Debaters Podcast on Facebook, Real Debaters, at Real Debaters on Twitter and Instagram. That's how you stay in the know for all of our shit. This is your first time. Stick around at the end of the show, please. We do have we have a little public service announcement there for all things us. If this is your first time and you want to know how to stay in the debater universe, so to speak, all that's there for you. So, yeah, that's who's on the show. That's what's on the show. The top 10 places that have been listening to the show for the last week. Let's see here. Who do we have? Detroit Lakes, Minnesota coming in number 10. Ashburn, Virginia, number 9. Brampton, Ontario. Penticton, British Columbia. Melita, Manitoba. Toronto, Ontario. Mississauga, Ontario. Calgary, Alberta. Burnaby, British Columbia. And coming in as always, number 1, Winnipeg, Manitoba, our hometown. We love celebrating everybody who listens to the show, whether it's once, twice, or you've been around since the inception of it. These are just the top 10 places that are doing the heavy lifting for us, who are helping us out, who are spreading the good word about our shenanigans here. So I'll keep this short and sweet. I got nothing else for you. We hope you enjoy our yearly Christmas special. We missed Emily. She was supposed to show up. Just life gets in the way, right? This was our full-time gig. You'd see us way too much. So with that said, I will shut up. I will cue the reel. Merry Christmas from everybody here at The Real Debaters. You got one more from us. It's all about toys next week. Subscribe. Stay tuned. I will cue the reel, and you enjoy the show.
Let's tidy up this tangle of film by putting it on a reel. Here is a motion picture film, 1,000 feet, 16,000 separate photographs.
Welcome, everybody, to the official space section of the Charter.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Sir, you're out of order.
I know, and I show
Ladies
you
Ladies and gentlemen,
order.
Welcome to another Real Debaters production. I am Michael Petro.
I'm Rob Strachan.
Cowell.
Yeah, we know each other's last names. I don't know why.
I'm toying with the idea of just going one name.
Yeah, you know? You're going to go the Prince route?
Yeah.
I think it's got to be something different than Mark.
No, I'm just going with Mark. It's very generic. Doesn't set me apart.
Can you get rid of the A, though, and just be MRK?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Can that you seems very like hip and
a very German techno mock.
Throw it like a number in there somewhere or something.
I'm going to love parade.
Like M4RK?
Yeah,
totally.
You can be Elon Musk's kid with a name like that. You are about to sit down and listen to our Christmas special, and this is
Gen Zers and a boomer.
Yeah, and a microphone. And this is a common.
I'm actually an Xer. I'm a Zennial.
How does it work?
I'm on the cusp.
Let's stop for a second. How does this
work?
So
it depends on who you're talking to, but typically they consider kind of 1980 to about 1995 will be millennials. Gen X is 65 to about 80, and then boomers are 45 to 65, roughly. But then there'll be a little bit of flex in between some of those, depending on the sociologist you're talking to or the statistician or the demographic. Graphicer?
There's like a micro generation between like 77 and 82.
83.
Yeah, 83 Zennials.
Zennials.
So they're Gen Xer millennials. They had a how did they describe it?
They are
a,
the analog. They grew up analog, but they were but then they came of age during digital.
Yeah, an analog childhood and a digital.
So they basically
that's where I fall in that. Like
absolutely.
So you
did a school project with an encyclopedia.
What year were you born?
I don't want to be an elder millennial anymore. I don't like that. The goalposts got moved because I was in 82.
Yeah, you're a Zennial.
Zennial.
Best of both worlds.
You're an elder Zennial.
I'm an elder Zennial.
Yeah.
No, he's a junior Zennial.
Junior Zennial.
Yeah.
That's fine.
A Zennial.
Anyways, ladies and gentlemen.
You didn't have typing class in high school on typewriters.
I did.
I had a keyboard.
Grade 10, I literally had to feed fucking paper in and do it that way.
That's monotonous and annoying, and I'm sorry you had to go through.
Can you
turn
me down just my phone's a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Anyhow.
Every time you get excited, I lose my eardrum for a moment.
Is that better?
That's perfect.
So for all of the listeners, for the listener, now you can see where some of our opinions are coming from, our generation. Talking about my generation.
My generation. See, because I experienced that with Danny Tanner when he dressed up and tried to be cool for the kids on Full House and sang My Generation.
Have you ever seen Bob Saget live?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I saw him last time he came here. He was fucking hilarious.
Well, not live, but I've seen his stand-up.
Well, I went and saw him live, and I happened to get front row right in the middle. And so my bro and I go and sit down, and beside us is this like 80-year-old couple who I think thought, oh, it's Danny Tanner from Full House. There's going to be some wholesome comedy. And his shit is nothing but raunchy AF.
As the old generation would call it, he's very blue.
He's
very blue.
He's definitely not Milton Berle.
Well, what is it? It's the Aristocrats. That is that story of the joke.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know the Aristocrats joke?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Okay, so the joke is, guy walks into a talent agency's office, sits down with the agent, and he's like, I have an act for you. He's like, it's me, it's my wife, it's my son, it's my daughter, and our dog. And at that point, the joke is to explain the most hideous act you possibly can do with a family and go as long as you want, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever you want. You do what you want with this family. And at the end of it, you go, well, what do you call this act? Says the talent agent to the father, and he goes, the Aristocrats. That's the joke.
Okay.
Now, the punch isn't funny, but everything in between the beginning and the end of the joke is the best. And there's a movie called The Aristocrats, and it's like 100 of the best comedians who've told the joke and how the joke has grown and who does the best version of the joke. And Bob Saget is like the king of the Aristocrats joke. He's talking about,
not to be confused with Aristocats.
Yes, not the Disney classic.
That's where I was going.
Yeah, I could see how you could confuse the two. But he's talking about slamming his son's dick in a drawer, and like there's a giant boil on his wife's back that he pops while they're having sex. Like it is the
Gilbert
most,
Gottfried's is really good.
Gottfried's
too.
Is amazing too. And like this is where like there's a whole like 4 minutes in the movie where you learn about all the different like ridiculous gross sexual positions, the rusty trombone, yep, the dirty Sanchez, like all of this,
the Cleveland steamer,
exactly,
the glass bottom boat.
We're gonna get a lesson today.
No, you know what the glass bottom boat?
No,
is.
I don't actually.
I don't
Can
either.
You explain? Is it similar to the Houdini?
Sort of picture like a Cleveland steamer,
okay,
except put a glass coffee table in between.
Oh,
so you're considerate. All right.
So you get like the visual without the cleanup.
Which part of the U.S. do you have to do that? Because I know the Cleveland steamer is like a Midwest thing. I've heard the Boston steamer is East Coast, and then anyway.
I feel like
the Sacramento steamer is West
boat
Coast.
Screams Florida.
Oh, panhandle only.
Appalachia. Anyways.
Squeal like pig, boy. That's what I think when you say.
Well, the Appalachia would be the glass bottom boat with a side of oxy.
Yeah.
Hoy vey. All right. So
you're out picking sing.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to.
Are we going to talk about movies?
We're going to talk about movies.
Nah,
today,
maybe
so.
Not.
Maybe whatever. Maybe we should.
We haven't been in the same room in a while.
We haven't. So yeah, it's taken a minute. But so listener, ladies and gentlemen, everybody out there, this is our Christmas special. It's eventually
for the next Merry Christmas.
For the next 4 hours, you're gonna get.
We're gonna talk about families and what you can do.
It's gonna
to
be
them.
A fly on the wall.
Yeah, it's gonna be our representation of the aristocrats during the holidays. So this is this episode is a collection of us going in, movies coming out, vice versa, doing the real life versus real life thing that we claim. That
wow,
we
that
do
that sounded dirty.
It yeah. Well, I mean. Mm-hmm. So, first item on the docket today, we'll open the floor, was something that was, I feel like it was a great warm-up question. Which movie is the Xmas movie, which movie is the Christmas movie? That's me running shorthand. Which movie is the Christmas movie in your house and why? What's the one movie, childhood, now, whenever the fuck ever, what's that one movie that you break out every year that's part of tradition? Mark.
Oh, goodness. I've lived a few lives, Mike.
Lives. Is that lives with an F lives? And an yeah. S on the end?
It's lives.
Okay, perfect. Yeah.
So I would say that this one was difficult because at the different stages of my life,
I went through
I
that
had
too.
The different.
So what's your one now then?
The one now, oddly enough, Chrissy not being a movie person, I just have to have my own. Like, she's not really into movies, so I oh god, it's somewhere I
let's go to
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
That's a gooder.
Is my it feels like Christmas, it's it's comforting.
That's the inspiration for my Facebook profile picture right now.
Yeah, it's got so many great sort of tropes and mm-hmm. I mean memes before there was memes, like you can pull yep. so much stuff out of it. I loved
it. Chevy Chase went like
really off the rails.
When he wasn't an asshole, he was just crazy.
It's old enough.
He's always an asshole. Okay,
it's old enough to be like it. I watched it when I was young, so it kind of has that nostalgia, mm-hmm. sort of like A Christmas Story.
But what year did that come out? 90? 89?
Probably. But it was like when I was a teenager.
Randy Quaid was still skinny and not insane back then, too.
Yeah, and things are kind of dated.
The States.
We were discussing it today. It just came up because of the whole Christmas bonus thing. Where
that's the shits.
But that's I love the yeah.
The jet. What do you remember your first experience with it?
I don't remember the first time. I don't. Yeah, that's not a movie I remember the first time. But fuck, I loved it. I just thought it was so like in that era when I would have watched it. That was like somewhat of like a risque movie for me. Like there was Well, National Lampoon's was like a bit adult, but it's sort of kid friendly, but with adult themes. So a lot of the things like shitter's full and, you know, those things were like, oh, he said shitter, you know, when
so
you first
it
watch it.
For
it
you.
Was, well, it was a, it's just got a little bit of that.
Did you just use the blue reference? Again?
I brought the blue reference back.
You know, the cat dying, getting electrocuted. And,
Auntie's cat.
Those are somewhat adult.
Dumping
themes.
The toxic waste into the storm drain.
I totally get, and like they don't really shy away from the fact that everything's a shit show. Like it's not a happy Christmas movie. It's funny to watch them like go to shit.
It's slapstick.
It's total slapstick. Oh, it's Lampoon, right? Lampoon is a whole different breed of comedy. But yeah, I get it.
I liked a lot of the Lampoon Vacation movies.
Yeah. Well, the Griswolds.
I'm not a big fan of the European vacations.
That's the one that falls short for me too. And it's not.
But like Summer Vacation was so classic.
Yeah.
Oh, like Vacation.
And Vegas Vacation.
With Christie Brinkley.
Well, there's the adult themes, right? Girl in the convertible pulling up, and then he sees her at the hotel later.
Yeah, the red Ferrari. Yeah. It's a Ferrari that she's driving?
I think. Or is it a Corvette?
Or is it a Corvette? Yeah.
That seems more Corvette than Ferrari. Ferrari would seem a little out of. Like, that's an expensive
car. Ferrari would have been in European Vacation.
Yeah, yes. There it is. There you're marrying it. Yeah. Vegas.
And Rusty wins probably a Ferrari in Vegas Vacation.
He does.
Yeah. He does. And then doesn't the daughter, like, doesn't she, what is
well,
she?
Well, the daughter
she becomes
changes.
She becomes a go-go dancer.
Exactly.
if it hadn't been PG-13 and rated R, she would have been a full-on stripper.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I mean,
and now and if they filmed that movie nowadays, she would have just become a porn star.
They did. Well, they filmed Vacation again with Anne Helms, but I mean, it's all it's all kind of wrapped
up. I refused to watch it.
I didn't watch it either. Yeah. I refused to.
It just sort of, it didn't have like the big like fake Christmas, it doesn't have the big fake Christmas jam.
Yeah,
it's very like,
yeah, yeah.
Your shitty relatives come over and you have like a regular, you have a Christmas dinner where the turkey's dry, like really dry, and weird shit happens and your strange aunt and grandma. And
real, like when I look
it's very
at,
real.
And you got to put up the yeah. lights when you should have done it earlier.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
okay,
it just
gutter.
Felt
I like
that,
it.
That's a good go-to.
Do you still watch it? Do you still watch every year?
That's one that I definitely tried to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I did have the like It's a Wonderful Life was another portion of my ex's family was super into It's a Wonderful Life, and that was like a Christmas Eve like sit down after dinner watch it as a family tradition.
Ooh. Those are
like, yeah, it was like you don't miss the playing of that movie. That was the most, I guess, the most reverie around of any movie at the holidays that I've ever had in my many lives.
With an F, a hard F.
Yeah.
That's yeah.
1950s propaganda. Movie.
Fuck. It's not a wonderful life. We found that out
yeah.
70 years later. What about you, Rob?
Mine's Elf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, What is so quintessentially good about Elf?
So there's a few things, right? I mean, I actually, Elf embodies everything a great Christmas movie should have.
Rest in peace, Brittany Murphy.
Rest in peace, Brittany Murphy, yeah.
It the main thing being, it has Will Ferrell. And the thing is about it is that Will Ferrell is so unhinged and so in character the entire time, and you look and you see, you've got James Caan, who's fucking, you know, from the fucking Godfather, and he's playing the straight man, and you can tell there's some scenes where James Caan is trying so hard not to fucking laugh, and they probably did a million takes because he would burst out laughing because Will Ferrell is so good in character. And
he stays locked in too.
And he's so locked in. And like, you know, like everything, like him like pulling the maple syrup out of his fucking pocket, right? And like
when he's eating the spaghetti,
when he's eating the spaghetti and he's talking about the five food groups, candy corn and syrup, and you know, it's just great, and it has a jovial feel to it, and it's got Santa, and it's got turning like a Scrooge kind of grumpy guy.
You're not Santa.
Exactly, right?
You sleep on a bed of lies.
You smell like beef and cheese.
And you know, and you've got Zoe Deschanel in it, and you've got, it's just so great. You got Peter Dinklage is in it. It's
before he really hit it.
You know, but that was way before like Game of Thrones, right?
But original and Santa, who is that? Bob, is that Bob Hope? No.
No.
Who is
it's not Bob Hope. I'm brain farting on his name. But
from the
they have Bob Newhart plays
Bob Newhart
Papa Elf.
Papa Elf.
And but just even all the stuff with the elf, how like he's like the main player on their basketball team, and they're like, it's okay, buddy. Everyone's got a special skill. You're without you, how would we put the star on the tree? Like, you know,
that
like,
montage is priceless.
It's so good. And they do such a good job of shooting perspective with it to make him look really big, because they didn't have a CGI budget. So they got very creative with all the shots and lining everything up with perspective and stuff like that. It's like the genius. Like, I just want you to think about the director right now for a second, okay?
Jon Favreau.
That's right. Now, not only did
I did not know that.
Yes.
One of his... Well, that's
so not only did he create the MCU with fucking Iron Man, basically get it going, he saved Star Wars with fucking Mandalorian, he has created the next great Christmas classic since A Miracle on 44th Street or It's a Wonderful Life. And that is unbelievable to have that in a repertoire. That's on the fucking level of Spielberg type shit.
Yeah. Favreau's a sleeping Spielberg.
Like, he is so fucking talented. Like, ever since I saw Swingers, and that was the first movie he directed, wrote, and starred in, and it was so good, Triple Threat, that one, and it's a great fucking movie, introduced us to fucking, why can't I think of his name?
Vince Vaughn,
thank you. But regardless, it's just, Elf is so good. And the thing
is, do you think Favreau doesn't get the... the credit that he deserves? Like,
I think he's underrated.
I don't. That's exactly. That's he's under. Short, he's, the media doesn't pay enough attention.
They don't
to him.
Pay enough attention to him. But I think in
they throw Lion King in his face now because they're like, "You're not supposed to be this good."
Yeah,
and he did Lion King, and everybody was like, "Yeah, that's."
But
what
everyone
happens
in
when you,
everyone like, in Hollywood knows how fucking good he
yeah,
is.
He's got the touch,
and he's got the touch, and he's got.
When he's, did you watch the companion to The Mandalorian? Where
the behind the scenes,
with all the directors. Oh, when he's sitting there.
The round like table with Robert round table Rodriguez of, oh.
And Taika Waititi.
Howard's daughter, yeah. Ron Howard's daughter.
I can't think of her name.
We're all tired, ladies and gentlemen, so don't mind
that's
us.
That's so good, seeing that insight.
Person
into,
in Jurassic, or she...
Yes.
She's in the best...
Bryce Dallas Howard.
She's in the best episode of fucking Black Mirror. Which is basically the social credit store in China, yeah. So enjoy when that comes here.
Oh, we just got demonetized.
We were never monetized.
That's the beauty of not being monetized. That's the beauty of nothing to lose.
Until someone pays. No, oh, say whatever you want.
Hey, we didn't get demonetized. We didn't talk about VAX. So don't worry. We're
That's
good.
Fine. That's fine.
We're good. We're good.
Didn't call Taiwan a country.
Yeah. Oh, you now you're gonna have to apologize in Mandarin.
That's a hot take.
But my daughter, who's 2.5, and we'll talk about what we've watched with Lucy. You wanna know how many times I've watched Elf in the last month?
Having a 2.5-year-old daughter.
Yeah, what?
And the thing is, I
having
don't
his 2.5-year-old daughter
get sick of it.
You can't.
It's so good. And the thing is, I own it on Blu-ray. I've owned it on DVD. I've owned it on VHS. And now I also have it on my Prime account. And it's just there to watch whenever the fuck I want. It's amazing.
It's a good one.
It's a gooder, man. And it's not too long.
Did you hear that they offered him to do a sequel and he turned it down?
That movie is never allowed to have a sequel or a fucking remake. It's like The Princess Bride.
I think it was tripled.
It should just.
I think they tripled his salary, which would have put him.
Who, Will Ferrell?
Will Ferrell. I think Will Ferrell turned down $29 million. I think
he
did.
And that's why I respect Will Ferrell.
Yes.
Because the other thing is, I think Anchorman 2 was so bad, and same with Zoolander 2.
Pushed. Anchorman 2 was pushed.
Oh, it was bad. Yeah, so was Zoolander 2.
That was forced.
Those are two movies that should sequels that have never been able to make.
I never watched the Zoolander
now,
sequel.
Now, can we get a Step Brothers 2 sequel, though?
No.
That's going to fucking rule.
No.
And it's all about the Catalina wine mixer.
Fucking Catalina wine mixer. Mark?
Yes, what about it?
Good call. No, Elf is quintessentially good. Elf is what happens when you capture Christmas in a bottle.
It's
right?
Magic.
It's yeah. Magic. It's magical.
It's also pre-smartphones, which is great.
Yeah.
I want to say it's for sure my top 3 to 5.
I love that line too where he's like, well, the last page is missing from the book. Ah, these kids don't notice.
Exactly.
Oh, we're going to have to reprint. No, we're not. These kids don't notice.
Oh, that's so good.
I'll cap this off for us here. So my first like real Christmas movie was Alistair Sim's Christmas Carol.
Okay. It's
like the original Scrooge, the black and white. Mom loved it. But like the Christmas movie that I attached myself to every Christmas, and it was because of Alistair Sim's, was the cool version of it, Scrooged, with Bill Murray.
Oh, like, fuck, that's a great movie.
I look at that movie and if I think hard enough, I think I might even be able to make it snow. Like, it is so wrapped in my quan of, like, to quote Jerry Maguire. Like, when we would sit down, we would get out Big Red, which was just a huge blanket, and get snacks and put on the big... And this was the VHS copy that, like, was the big plastic sheath, like the Disney one, right? Like, you crack it open, and you'd have to pull
the big
plastic fucking piece of shit. And we'd throw that on, and when...
I love the Scrooge commercial that they have in that thing. They're like... And they talk about how they aired it, and an old lady had a heart attack.
It's in the
focus group.
The best part is the greed and corruption of it tying in like his ghosts. Like it is.
It's so evil 80s.
Evil like, 80s horror comedy. Yeah.
Totally.
And it's just Bill Murray letting go. Like, I'm sure they were like, yeah, do what you want.
He's almost a little unhinged in it.
He's borderline, like, just his look, his character, his mannerisms, he's turned up to 11.
And you know what's so great about that movie, too, is it's that one standout piece between Groundhog Day and Ghostbusters for him.
Oh, very much. It was part of a resume to be like, you can't put me in a box.
Totally.
And Like, we'd wrap presents. She'd be baking. Like, all of the things, like, that kind of is the launch to Christmas. And, like, I...
When his dad gives him the gift and it's fucking wrapped meat from the fucking butcher.
I don't remember Scrooge as well as you guys do.
When he meets his old icon, who's like now the dead golfer, and like when he hits the ball, his eye pops out and lands in his cocktail. Like it's like got so much horror. It's Ghostbusters horror, if it's really what it is. And I think that they were banking on being like, okay, you did Ghostbusters, this is a ghost movie. Let's take it off the sheets and the spook and the specter, and let's make this as dark as Ghostbusters.
You also
was.
Like Beetlejuice, though.
I do. I mean, yeah. I like
your jam.
Anything.
Yeah, but Scrooge isn't like that. Scrooge is. I also like the thing I like about Scrooge is that the Christmas Carol is happening to him while they're doing a live version of the Christmas Carol on the network that he runs.
Who's the gymnastics girl? Amy Lou Henner or whatever? Oh, like, to flip out and be Tiny Tim?
Yeah.
Tiny Tim, who's a cripple in the actual one, is a gymnastics artist doing triple backflips onto the fucking musical. And he's, like, got the Rockettes kicking with, like, no pants on. Like, it's this just debacle. But he's right. Laced through it in three perfect acts is A Christmas Carol.
And I like that because it's almost like a throwback. Have you ever seen Fellini's 8 and a Half, where it's like, it's a movie about a guy making a movie?
Yeah, it's Seinfeld.
You know, it's I love that kind of shit. And that's kind of what Scrooge kind of, it has a little bit of that to a certain degree.
The breaking of the fourth wall, so to speak.
So
like,
to speak.
Like a world within a world.
For sure.
Inception.
Totally.
that was the top, ladies and gentlemen.
You know what? Every time I remember, I went and saw Inception like three times in the theater, and every single time I'd watch it, at the very end, it goes like when the little top, and then it's just, you know, it's just about to turn, and then they go to the black screen. Everyone in the audience, all three times, was like, "Oh!"
That's shit. When you were done at the zoo. It's an ape.
Bonono.
Bonobo.
I said what he said.
So we're kind of wrapping up the Christmas movie. Yeah. So I kind of had one that was like cuspy because it's not a Christmas movie, because it's not a feature.
That's fine.
Right? To me, and I love it, it is the rare and hard to find Muppets Family Christmas.
I know what you're talking about, and I had it on tape until that tape got lost.
It is a very hard to find movie. It's not the Muppets Christmas Carol. No. It's not.
Is it on
with
Disney
Michael
Plus?
Kine.
It's no. It's like I hunted high and low, and I have a copy, a digital copy of it that's taped off of like a VHS.
Mm, cool.
But it is.
Is it on?
They
Betamax?
all probably.
only
all of the Muppets leave New York. I suppose is normally what they're in or wherever they're from. I don't know where the Muppets
wherever
are from.
The theater exists.
But they go,
it's New York.
They go like out to the cabin to like grandma's place for the holidays. Mm-hmm. But it's not just the Muppets. It's the Muppets. It's
Sesame Street. Yes.
It's
a hybrid.
The Fraggles.
Yeah.
They all go to the same place.
So it's basically, it's like
the Jim Henson-a-thon.
It is so amazing. The Swedish chef is cooking dinner and Big Bird walks into it and he's like, "Oh, that's a big turkey."
I know what you're talking
it's
about.
It's so
now.
Good.
Yeah.
And then the real life people from the Fraggles become part of it, and it's just
the people
so
upstairs.
Good. Yeah, with the dog.
I remember this only because it was like the first super band, right? Like the first hybrid thing of world building.
And it's always blustery, and these different groups are showing up in the snowstorm to the cat to the house.
So it's basically a Christmas acid trip.
Yeah, it's so good, so good.
Did they tie in Dark Crystal?
No. They don't. They don't. That's they
that's
didn't
deep
that
cuts. That's a deep cut.
That, I think this was before that. That was spawned from this.
This is what Jim Henson dreamt up exactly.
Yeah.
Rob, you got anything else before we mark it and move it?
I mean, there's one other one that's
sure.
a little bit more from my childhood.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the Mickey Mouse cartoon version of A Christmas Carol.
Oh, so good.
The one with actual Scrooge McDuck and all that. And I actually watched it, and because it's not very long. It's like 35, 40 minutes or something
it's
like that.
Short and sweet, yeah.
And so, you know, fit in with like an hour with commercials. And I watched that with Lucy the other day, and it just was nostalgic. It kind of threw me back
when
to
I hear
a
Tiny
kid.
Tim, I picture Mickey Tiny, like
yeah,
little.
The Mickey Tiny yeah. Tim?
Yeah. Totally. With
and
his little crutch.
And they're cutting that bean into like little strips.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Who's got the big eye? Who's the giant? Where's the giant from? Who's the ghost of Christmas?
I can't remember.
There was when we were movie trivia the other night. That was one of the questions, and I couldn't fucking remember where that giant, because they asked what movie was the giant from that plays the ghost of Christmas whatever was one of the questions.
Black Cauldron.
Always Black Cauldron.
super obscure fucking Disney movie that almost no one's seen.
Way out in left field. That movie always pays. It always pays. Like whenever I have it referenced later for another question is how important Mickey's Christmas Carol is.
It pulls in your heartstrings.
It does, because you know what
when
it was?
You said slicing the pea. I can actually like picture scene with a wafer thin pieces floating.
And then when like in the end
and he's serving it out like it's like he's cutting it like it's a fucking turkey.
But then when Scrooge shows up with the turkey and he's like talking about the candied yams and everything, like it just sits there. But it's Sundays.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
It's Sundays at 6 during Christmas time when you waited
on the Wonderful World of Disney
on CBC,
waiting for it to come on every Christmas on CBC every December. That's what I remember through Mickey's Christmas Carol. You didn't know what Sunday it was going to be, if it was going to be the one right before or right after, but you knew you were going to get it at some point.
Kids nowadays will never know the beauty of having like finishing dinner on a Sunday and it's going to be 6 o'clock and you don't know which Disney show is going to be on.
Right. Right. Now it's just a
channel.
You're
not choosing it and streaming it.
Or when you had to take a pee and you wait till the commercial and then you're going pee and then your sister's like, it's on. And you're like running back.
You're
going to
get a little bit of sport, maybe some sport goofy in there.
Right.
Oh, such good stuff.
They don't make them like they just,
and then it'd be like Herbie and you're like,
remember when Lindsay Lohan did the remake of Herbie?
I think we talked about that when we did the race car, because somebody picked the Love Bug. Mm-hmm. Steve picked the Love Bug on that episode and was like, I could fly. I was like, yeah, we didn't define that rule. Okay, all right, moving on.
I'm going to have to watch all these movies now. For sure I'm getting some Elf this year.
That's the best part about when we do this, because there's shit that everybody talks about that just like lands on your radar, and then you're like,
I'll give you guys copies of the Muppet Family Christmas.
I didn't know I wanted to watch that. How
are you going to port that over? You got a VHS? You're going to plug it into your computer?
I have a digital copy.
Oh, you have a digital copy? Is it UHD?
It's, I don't even know.
How did you find it?
It was so hard to find in the deep, dark recesses of the Pirate Bay.
Ah, okay.
Excellent.
Right. That's where you got to fucking look if you want to look on the internet. You got to look in the dumpster. Yeah.
A cammed version of somebody's VHS copy.
It was hidden in there with all this hentai bukkake.
Tentacles. Lots of tentacles. This next one, we're going to jump on the screen with this one. So this one's inspired by Christmas Day.
Move on.
Did you, when you were younger, because now it doesn't matter. Like, you get to the point when you're old enough and you're like, whatever I get for Christmas is cool, right? Someone bought me a gift. You grow the fuck up. But when you're a kid, you're like, I want this one thing. I want my Red Ryder BB gun. So my question was, did you ever get a pink bunny suit, or did you always get the BB gun? Like, do you remember a Christmas where you got a version of a pink bunny suit or a real fucking pink bunny suit? Like, or did you have a Christmas where there was a gift that you just always got? You always knew, Rob.
So I think it was my fifth Christmas when I was five or when I was six. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really wanted Optimus Prime.
Of course you did.
And I got Megatron.
Oh. Oh.
Which is still really fucking cool.
Because it was a gun.
Yeah, but I wanted fucking, Optimus.
I wanted a truck.
You know, and I remember my mom said, she goes, I couldn't find Optimus. I had to get me. So my mom still got me the, the second best toy. But, you know, I think in the back of your mind, you're still like, oh, it's not Optimus. But then it actually worked out because my friend got Optimus and I had Megatron so that we could play with them together. So it worked out.
That's when Rob went from the good guys to the bad side, to the dark side.
That's when
he was all Autobot, and then he went total.
It really does affect the other direction. Your first Transformer does affect your imagination.
Like, let's agree, Soundwave is the coolest Transformer.
I love. He is my
Soundwave,
favorite too.
He was a boombox. I love Soundwave. Fuck yeah! Oh no, wait a minute. We think Soundwave was the boombox, right?
Well, it was like the little cassette.
Little player.
With the little guys
rumbler.
That came out of them.
That's it. Rumbler, yeah. Yes. It was the boombox with the cassette that went.
There was two.
You can't talk like that. Sir Wave.
There was the bird, the like the panther thing, and the two little dudes.
Yeah.
Mark, what about you?
You know what? I was.
You know the Transformers episode where Megatron and Optimus are fighting on the dam and Rumbler's underground and the dam's falling apart. Anyway,
oh, I remember that.
Anyway, sorry.
I was spoiled rotten. I think I got everything I wanted, unfortunately.
And it's strange. You've worked out to a very mild manner, perfect human.
I don't know. I think I was. I got whatever I asked for, and because of that, I think I didn't put as much. I don't know. It didn't matter as much to me because nothing was out of reach. It seemed. No, it wasn't. Like I was the kid that got like.
The G.I. Joe
aircraft
carrier.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everybody's getting like, hey, I got Storm Shadow. And I'm like, I got the aircraft carrier. I got Cobra Commander. Well, I got the Rattler, which is their fucking plane.
I knew a kid that actually got the aircraft carrier. And everyone was like, what the fuck? Because that thing was like, I think back in the 80s, it was like $5.99 in the Sears catalog. And you're like, $600?
That's about the only thing that was out of reach.
It was so big.
I had every
other thing.
It had elevators
for the full fucking jets.
I had every other thing. I had every jet. I had every playset. I had boats. I had, but the aircraft carrier is the one thing I didn't have.
Did you? Okay. All right. So then you always got the Red Ryder BB gun.
I pretty much always got the Red Ryder BB gun.
I'm
not proud of it. But
no. I'll jump in.
The pink Red Ryder BB gun.
That's funny.
Anyway,
call you Mr. Pink from now on.
Sure.
He got the Blue Ryder BB gun.
Yeah,
it was very close.
The B gun. So I too only child, right? Not. You're only child too, right, Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that's what happens, right? Because all the eggs in one basket, all the gifts in one child. It doesn't.
So much selfishness in this room.
No, I had to learn. I had to learn
only
selfishness.
Only child from a broken home?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So then two. Then you're.
Two Christmases.
Exactly.
That's exactly what happens. You get bought and paid for. So do you remember the G.I. Joe mobile base that teared up?
100%.
That's my piece de resistance. I always got the Red Ryder BB gun too, like constantly. Like I know this Christmas, I know exactly what I'm getting, which is horrible to say, but like,
because you bought the gift yourself.
No. I made a short list.
I bought my gift myself.
That's fine. Like, hey, if someone's like, here's like throws money at me and they're like, go buy
and opened
something.
It a month early
on an unboxing video.
I was recovering from surgery.
I needed 30 hours of Lord of the Rings. No, I get it. I totally get it. But yeah, that was the big thing. I also had the Ghostbusters hall, right?
Oh, wow. That's cool.
I had that.
That's cool.
I had Echo One. I had a lot of TMNT. I had a lot of G.I. Joe.
I have a lamp.
Like, I have a fucking lamp with all this shit on it.
Did you have Lego?
I had Lego as well, too.
Is that the Iwo Jima of 80s toys?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what was on TikTok. Yeah. But then we decided to paint it, so.
The Iwo Jima, I like it.
Go to our.
There's no flag, but.
Well, they're kind of raising the light post there.
Yeah. Well, no, that's.
Now, you should have the light post on crooked, and they're like erecting it.
Erecting the lamppost?
This was
pushing it up?
This was the beta test over here, so there's about three more lamps of toys left to be able to do this.
Excellent.
But this is actually a shrine to exactly getting what you want, because there's like 17 different lines of toys in here. I had this is a humble brag. I had like the.
There are 17 lines of toys in here. Would you have peasants?
But like.
Where's your plane?
Where's your plane, bitch?
But like, I had like the genuine line of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Where's your LeBaron, Freddy?
But then I had like the sports.
That's
line.
An obscure.
Then quote. I had like the normal, like the one was a pizza delivery guy and one was like a basketball player. Like there's I had all these offshoots of fucking toys.
Oh, I thought we were talking about porn for a second there.
No, but like, I never didn't get what I wanted. So I was just wondering if I was going to be the only one in the room.
No.
You know what?
Honestly, I think the three of us are very blessed. I mean,
oh, very much. All kidding aside.
Yeah, all kidding aside, yeah.
Like, very great childhood full of tons of gifts from both parents who tried to buy me off. But, like...
Very little human contact, but great presence.
Yes.
No hugs, but lots of plastic.
Yes. I spent a lot of time alone playing with lots of toys.
Yeah. Made my own world.
I was hoping somebody was going to say they wanted a Nintendo and somebody gave them an Atari.
No.
You know what? Funny thing is, I actually have a friend and he wanted the year I got Atari, he got an Intellivision. He was so mad.
Really?
But I thought Intellivision was badass.
The Intellivision is pretty...
It all was.
I always wanted a ColecoVision, and I never got
one. My babysitter when I was a kid had a ColecoVision, and there was a Tarzan game. You know what else was really cool about ColecoVision is that there was this module that could clip into the front, and it played Atari games!
Oh, really?
And you were just... So you could play Coleco games, or you could play Atari 2600 games in it as well.
I love the fact that the different games had those, like, the plastic things that slid over, and the buttons would have, like, different uses for the different games. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what Coleco stands for?
I do not.
The Connecticut Leather Company.
Oh, geez.
Wrap your mind around that one. So a company called the Connecticut Leather Company decided to get into the video game industry in the early 80s and created Coleco. Fucking Google it. Google that shit. You're Googling it right now because you don't believe me.
Well, I firmly believe you. I just love how they're like, they could see this being a boom. And they're like, let's switch from leather goods to video game consoles. Like, who does that in the middle of whatever the fuck they're doing?
When you're ahead of the curve.
And it's funny how they took the first two letters of each part of their name and turned it into something that sounded kind of Asian, almost like an Asian in kind of import. Anyway, like the future.
All right. I think this one's a dead horse. So, let's move down the list here. There was a question I had. I'll go first on this one because I have a feeling you guys might need a second.
As you're transitioning, I'm going to tell you one funny Christmas story that I had with being spoiled.
Please. Yeah,
I was also the spoiled kid who wanted to prove how spoiled I was to the kids at school.
No.
Like, I wanted to have the better thing.
Oh, wow.
So I knew I was getting, there's a particular Transformers plane. And it was like the Autobot plane that was like twice the size of Starscream. He was red and white. I don't even remember his name.
He's the guy they find in the ice.
And it's massive. Yeah. Like, it's a giant thing. I knew it was for me under the tree. I took it. I carefully unwrapped it. I took Polaroid pictures of it because that's how young I am to show the kids at school that that's what I was getting for Christmas.
Can I tell you another funny story about similar to that? One year I knew I was getting a video game and I knew that's what was under the tree.
Yeah.
And my brother and I unwrapped it meticulously and played it for every day for the 7 days leading up to Christmas. And we would repackage it and put it under the tree at the end of the night. And my mom would come down and go, oh, what game are you playing? I don't know. Just some game that we got. And it was like the brand new game that she had already bought us for Christmas.
That's amazing.
All right. I got a humble brag too. I remember like getting pretty much all of Stitches, like the store, like when Stitches like used to do like crisscross clothing, like big baggy jeans.
Like parachute pants?
Yeah, yeah. Well, not parachute pants, but like just baggy jeans that like were purple or green and they said exhaust on the back in the stitching, right? Like,
never owned a pair of those.
All right, I'll show you pictures after.
I wasn't cool, I guess.
No, this was far other end of the spectrum. So like I remember getting like basically...
Exhaust jeans.
I wore everything I got for Christmas, so people had to ask me where I got everything from.
Oh yeah,
to school, like right after Christmas break. So
100%.
like everything head to toe. So like FUBU and exhaust and Nike. Like as I was a fucking advertisement for commercialism at Christmas time when I got back to school, and I would just kind of stand there, and like eventually people would be like, "Would you?" And then I would just go, and like I mean I still do that, but like just not with clothing. That was an asshole. I was an only child. Don't look at me that way.
Why are you you're bragging that you got clothes for Christmas?
That's
fucking lame.
I'm talking about...
That's how you had to flex before there was social media.
I'm not bragging.
That is fucking lame.
No, but these are the clothes I wanted. Is like I got everything I wanted. Like I picked up these clothes.
Okay.
I got them. So I was like, check out me and my badass Perry Ellis style.
Wearing Dracar Noir.
Right? It was fucking up the time. Anyways, okay, all right, moving on. With the wide array, and Mark always has, like, would Jingle All the Way and Four Christmases, I know, is a big thing for Mark. Like,
such a good movie.
I like Four Christmases, too.
And, so good.
But then Jon Favreau's in it.
Favreau.
But then at the same time, okay, so we've got, like, that's a newer Christmas movie, let's say, right? Like, modernized, more current with today's trends, but yet White Christmas, It's a Wonderful Life, all of the classics. How do you prefer your movies at Christmas time? Do you find yourself going to the new stuff, or do you like the classics more? Because you said It's a Wonderful Life earlier, Rob, and you said...
I don't watch A Wonderful Life.
No, you were just commenting on it earlier, so that's why I'm wondering, do you prefer...
That movie's fascist propaganda.
Okay. But do you prefer some of the classic stuff that holds Christmas in a snow globe, per se, or the more commercialized, updated Last Christmas, Netflix Christmas, Hallmark Christmas? Like, what do you...
You know what's strange is all the ones, you're making me analyze my Christmas movies, I like the ones about dysfunctional families at Christmas.
Okay, that's what I'm getting at.
That seems to be a trend, like National Lampoon's and Four Christmases, and those are all families that are super dysfunctional at the holidays, and they find a way to have...
Tell us more about how those make you feel, yeah, Mark.
I'm just going to lay back.
Yeah. So how do you feel when you see these movies?
My mother! No,
Oedipus. Okay, so you like the more...
I think modern, I like the things... Stuff. Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know that I like the modernness of it, but I think I'm not going to pick one of the options you go, but I think I go for like the real Christmas story as opposed to the mythical, magical Christmas stories.
100%. I'm being very black and white.
I like the mythical, magical.
You like the,
I like the lore.
Okay, like...
Like Rudolph and
like
Frosty the Snowman.
There's a movie that came out a few years ago. It's like, called
Mr. Narwhal.
Claus.
Yeah.
Klaus. And it won the Academy Award. And it's about like this postman that goes to this weird, like, you know, like town, like fishing town, like out in the middle of like nowhere. And he basically gets the children to come back to school and write letters to Santa to get gifts. And it's so good. It actually makes me cry when I watch it.
Anyway. Have you seen Krampus?
I do like Krampus. It's kind of freaks me out a bit, though.
Fat Man?
I started watching it, and I got sleepy and went to bed, and I still haven't finished it.
It'll pay you. I don't want to ruin it for you. It'll pay you, because the whole movie is filmed as bounty hunter versus bounty hunter, but then you find out it's all about Santa Claus. Like,
so which other dysfunctional ones other than Four Christmases, and which other ones do you like?
Like A Christmas Story. Right? It's mother, father, like they're not broken up, but it's a pretty dysfunctional family. Like, it's real. It's not.
I think it's from a time too where husbands and wives hated each other and they didn't always get divorced.
No,
that was where they still, you know, like charged
like the whole
through.
The fragile with the lamp and the you know, just the dad's attitude,
Chinese
and,
food, the turkey going awry, like all those things. Like,
it just reminded me of so my dysfunctional life, and I think that. I don't know. I think maybe it was soothing in some weird way, that seeing other people that have different lives that aren't just...
Is it maybe that you get to see other people having fucked up situations too, and it normalizes it on some level?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a story you emote to, right? You know, I understand Clark's strife.
I think I just always like the fucked up kind of Christmas movies. I mean, even in some ways, Elf is like that. It's sort of this like...
Yeah.
You know, dysfunctional family that he's trying to reunite with his dad and get along with his brother.
Oh, this child that's like left to like be raised by elves, right? Magical elves in the North Pole.
That's got the both. That's dysfunctional family and magic.
It is.
That checks both boxes.
And
for
Will
you.
Ferrell.
See, like I like cheesy romantic Christmas stuff.
So you like Hallmark movies?
No, but I love The Holiday.
Okay.
Jude Law, Cameron Diaz.
I just watched that the other day, too.
Right? So you like movies set at Christmas as opposed to Christmas movies.
Well, what's the difference?
So
right?
What's your favorite part of Holiday? Is it when he puts the Mr. Napkin Head? I knew it.
Did you give him a Mr. Napkin Head? Oh. No, it's...
Jude Law's so... he's so charming in that movie. I want to fuck him.
It's annoyingly how yes, I like movies set at Christmas, but... Isn't that a Christmas movie? Like, Christmas theme versus... Because totally. Now we're getting down into Die Hard territory, which we have to wait until we're all in the same room to do. But I like the romantic, lovey-dovey Christmas shit just because I was like single for a very long time on Christmas. So like I always found myself watching those cheesy, loserish.
What about Love Actually?
Love Actually is easily one of the best Christmas movies
every
ever.
Time I watch it now, though, and all I think of is Rick from fucking Walking Dead. And I'm
Carl!
Just, and just like, you know.
No, I get it. And then you're like, man, that is a really good, like, he hides his accent well. Love Actually.
Dude,
yes,
his accent's on point, man.
Yeah. No, he's got a very good dialect coach. But yeah, I just.
So you lacked a relationship when you weren't.
Always.
You said you were single, so you watched movies about.
Did you watch rom-coms?
Relationships.
And... Oh, yeah. Like heavy.
I liked movies about families because maybe I didn't have much of a family.
What about Rob?
I like mystical and magical because I have no magic.
You muggle.
You muggle. Speaking of muggles, Jimmy was like, when I threw the post up of like, what's everybody watching? Jimmy's like, I watched all of the Harry Potters this week and I hate myself.
Who has that much time to watch?
Those are long. That's like 19 hours.
That is. That's a good chunk. I mean, I think it was more than a week unless... Whatever. But like
Michelle and I crushed Harry Potter over like a 2 week period one time.
If you're not sleeping, it's the only thing I can think of is you're just
no,
like,
we just watch one movie every day.
Oh yeah, no, we do we do that here too. So mythical and magical, dysfunctional families, and relationships. Those are the three Christmas themes.
I like Christmas rom coms a lot. But yeah. I also just love rom coms. Like I'm one
they
of those
people.
I'm one of those people that can watch rom coms over and over. When I've been single and I used to go to Blockbuster, I'd be like, "I'm watching two rom coms tonight." I had no problem doing that.
They're always funny and they're always cute,
and I like seeing rich people get into crazy situations because that's basically what they are.
It's always an over the top scenario that brings two lovers to a meet cute
that are both rich.
Both rich, yeah,
or upper middle class.
You've got mail. She was on the outs and almost going bankrupt. Ryan was about to lose her bookstore.
But hear me out, though, right? She was still upper middle class. She is
living in a brownstone in New York.
She just went through a bad spell, and she's going to, and you know what?
She's going to turn it around.
Her personal finances are not going to be affected by her corporation filing for bankruptcy.
That's true. Thank you for the breakdown of.
Exactly. So
is the engagement, is that at Christmas time that they go home?
The engagement?
The proposal?
The proposal is... Well, isn't
is
that
it
where,
Christmas time?
Ryan
Reynolds?
I think what you're thinking
because they go to Alaska and there's no snow.
Hang on.
Oh.
It's the one where he...
I thought it was over the holidays, but...
Over the holidays is where he goes home. And
Just Friends.
Just Friends. Thank you. That's the Christmas
one. I swear...
By the moon and the stars in the skies.
Yeah, but I was also wondering if the other one took place during the holidays because I was wondering why he was going home.
Ryan Reynolds in a fat suit is the funniest thing ever.
That was a good one.
That's a good Anna Faris in there.
Chris Klein is so
Chris Klein is on point.
That is arguably his best role. That's his best role.
He fucking nails it.
Yeah.
Anything outside of Stifler, not Stifler. What was his name in American Pie?
Ox,
that's it. Ooh, Stifler. All right, back into it.
Could American Pie be made today?
No.
No.
All right.
Unicron.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we are back, but considering it's late, and we with our technical difficulties, I figure we should go out with a bang, and I think this one would be fun to do, which was the one I was going to ask when you were like, hey, there's another question. Or ask us some questions. So there are your standard Christmas tropes, right? There's checking all the boxes and making sure you've got all the cheer and all the ornaments and all the
naughty list.
The naughty list, like all of those things. But what's a Christmas movie that you would like to see that maybe one or two have been done on? Like I'll give you my example, okay? Krampus and lores and other tales of other worlds' Christmases and their lore. I'd like to see more of that. I'd like to see a Austrian weird story. I'd like to see a South African story, like incorporating the lore of other cultures.
That feels
Christmases.
Like a Netflix docuseries.
Yes, something on it. Like if it's not a feature, if it's not a scripted series, just something that touches on how other cultures celebrate Christmas that are not Western and bathed in commercialism. That would be fun to see. So a docuseries on Netflix about like you know, how Anthony Bourdain traveled the world for food. Somebody who's a huge Christmas nut, some celebrity who, you know, would be great to listen to. Will Ferrell, for example. He'd be amazing. Elf doing a world Christmas. Nah, maybe that'd be a stretch. But the point is something that explores.
I don't think Will Ferrell would be introspective enough.
No. Well, you know what? I've caught him in some, but again,
maybe I'm wrong.
It would be. I think he would be a nice balance.
You started with talking about Anthony Bourdain-esque, and yes. I think that that's very hard to replicate.
I watched the documentary and told Mark about it. That one's a hard one to watch. But anyway, so yeah, that's my Christmas.
That'd be kind of cool.
Wish list, just to have something in that regard. So like, Rob, is there like a zombie Christmas thing?
So have you guys seen the movie Tank Girl?
Yes.
Okay. So
Lori Petty.
So you know how there's like, you know, like the kangaroo kind of guys?
Yes.
Make those guys reindeer, right? And then somehow like, so like, let's do like a dystopian post-apocalyptic world.
There we go.
But with like Santa and reindeer and elves and all that kind of shit.
The only thing keeping society together. Is Santa. And it's like The Road, but Santa.
I was thinking maybe more a little bit more Mad Max-y, but sure. like still more Rembrandt semblance of...
Society has turned in on itself, and Santa's the only one who can save the day.
Something like that, yeah. And you've got like mutant humanoid reindeer, and you've got... Yeah.
Well, what's funny is that tying this back to the beginning of it all with Scrooged, the features on the network mm-hmm. were all of these things. Like mm-hmm. at the time, everybody yeah. in the movie was like, how dare you, you know, the sacrilege of Santa and all that he means, how dare you do that to him? But now it's like, no, give me that. Like, we totally. Want that.
Well, look at Fat Man. Use that as an example.
Fat Man's trailer. Mark, have you seen it?
I haven't, no.
It leads you down a road of two guys. It's two guys going after each other, and it's an action movie. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's Santa Claus.
It's Santa Claus.
And you're like, oh wow, what if there was a bounty on Santa's head? That's mm-hmm. and Will Goggins plays the bounty hunter, and Mel Gibson plays Fat Man.
How has Mel Gibson not been canceled?
Let's put
a pin in that one.
He might
back
have been
to.
Canceled, and it like wore off.
Yeah,
I think he got canceled as an actor, and then he kind of came in the back door. Doing the director thing, and then
he gave Hollywood anal, and then
something like that. And it's like he like did Hacksaw Ridge, and then that like kind of, and then it's like all of a sudden everyone forgot about.
I wonder if there's like an expiration date on being canceled.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think there's a severity list of different things you do, but I don't know. Like when that whole thing with Mel Gibson with his wife and those like crazy comments that he left on the voicemail and then it went all public. I was listening to a lot of Howard Stern at that time, and Howard Stern would just play the cuffs over and over again. And some of the shit he said was like, you were just like, whoa, like dropping the N-word like crazy and just
I
like.
I think that's our attention span. Like, yeah. That society forgets quick and they're on to the new thing.
Even though everything is recorded now. Yeah. Which is so crazy. You can go back and see it.
And then somebody will remember, like Mel Gibson will work his way back in. Yeah. And then some, like.
As Santa.
Then some whatever the new generation is, not even Z's. Is it Z's?
It's Gen Z's right now. Yeah.
So the Z's will discover that he was canceled previously and then recancel him.
Yeah, it's like it happened when they were like 13 and they weren't really paying attention kind of thing.
Yeah, like Bill Cosby will put out a new sitcom and they'll start watching it and then realize, that's the guy that...
And by the time...
Part 6 is so good. Oh, wait. Oh, wait.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wait.
Not watching that anymore. What about you, Mark? What's your...
You know what? I would take the... like we were talking about Guardians of...
Oh, like Rise of the Guardians?
Rise of the Guardians. Yeah, yeah. I think we need a movie from Santa's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like the From Santa's Perspective movies, but Santa is always kind of portrayed as, and we were talking about this with, like, Tim...
Like, Jolly?
Like, oh, Tim Allen.
Yeah, like, sort of comical,
joyful.
Jolly, a little bit clumsy, a little whatever. I think they need to take like the Rise of the Guardians.
Like, he kind of fell into the role.
Yeah, the Rise of the Guardian Santa, like, Santa's a badass, and he has fucking magic.
Yeah.
And he has, like, he has all these abilities. Like, Santa's, like, a superhero.
Yeah, naughty or nice.
So they need to take that angle from his perspective. He's got time travel and teleportation and all this other crazy shit.
Yeah.
And he's got a team of elves to make gadgets.
Like, you could put... Yeah, he's like half...
James Bond.
He's like half Batman, half Doctor Strange.
I like that. I
right?
like that.
Santa as a hero.
And Santa crosses over into the MCU. Boom.
Makes Tony Stark's gifts look
does
like shit.
Does his sled have cloaking? Obviously it does.
Is Santa
because how does he go around without anyone seeing him?
Because the Cardassian vessel.
The Kardashians?
No, the Cardassians.
I know. Yeah.
The Cardassians need some cloaking.
No more Cardassians.
The Cardassian bird of prey, was it?
I believe that's the Klingon bird of prey.
The Klingon bird of prey. Yeah. Does that have cloak? Can that cloak in warp speed? Or cloak while firing?
I don't know.
Cloak
we'll have
while
to,
dropping
we'll have to do a deep dive into Deep Space Nine.
Yeah. No, that's a good, that's a, nobody does Santa's perspective. I think the one that did it was Noel with Bill Hader, where Santa dies and then her brother takes over for, what's her face from Pitch Perfect? Anna Kendrick. Anna Kendrick.
I was going to say Rebel Wilson.
Kendrick's brother becomes Santa, who's Bill Hader, and he's like, I don't want to be Santa. Like he's...
and people are always reluctant to be Santa.
Right? Yeah.
I think Santa needs to be cool as fuck with a bunch of magical powers and...
And psychedelics.
And from his
let's
point
pull
of view.
That, yeah, let's recreate a new narrative.
Yeah.
Santa's a badass who's in the MCU who hands out magic
like
mushrooms.
Like, Santa's actually... He's not just giving presents. He's, like, protecting the world, and we don't even know about it. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know?
I dig
like
it.
Like, he's fighting, like, Super Skrull. And
exactly,
you don't even know.
Right? Like, he's keeping the Skrulls off of planet Earth,
like, he's battling Galactus, and you're just like, what?
Who?
He's like the Silver Surfer, except in red and white.
Boom. Jolly this bitch.
Who... Who would be like a really silly casting of Santa Claus, like right now, off the top of your head, if you were like
Gilbert Gottfried?
Silly? See that? I'm trying to go the other way. Who do we want as Santa?
How about terrible?
Who do we want as the new?
I want Brian Cox.
The new
no.
cool Santa.
No.
Brian Cox is Santa.
No.
As no? Come on.
I need Scottish Santa.
I
need a Zangief fucking style motherfucking Santa.
Jesus, you want a Russian Cossack looking Santa?
That's what Rise of the Guardians basically is.
Oh.
He's a Russian Cossack fucking Santa.
Who do you want to put a beard on right now in Hollywood?
I want like fucking Hapthor Bjornsson, the mountain from Game of Thrones
yes!
as Santa Claus.
Yes.
Or Ryan Reynolds.
Or Ryan.
I was gonna say The Rock, maybe.
The Rock as Santa? I can see
can
it.
You, and imagine with the shaved head, and then he had this perfectly like bright white dyed, like tight as fuck beard.
Somebody needs to do The Rock as Santa.
Yeah. Get on
as
that, listener.
Protecting the world and bringing cheer.
So Dwayne Johnson, if you're out there listening, and Mark Wahlberg is going to produce this for you.
Now you're talking.
He's going to...
Favreau's directing.
Yeah. Wow, that's a wish. That's
and
a Christmas
Vin
wish list.
Vin Diesel will be the bad guy, and you'll kick his ass.
Oh shit!
In a street race?
In a sled race?
is like the idea of
Henry Cavill would be a fucking sick ass fucking Santa.
I know we
Superman, Witcher, Highlander. Santa.
Yeah, you know what? Let's that's a perfect
like a badass Santa is what we're the world needs right now.
Yeah, it's a perfect play. Like it's something that is unexpected. It's a new idea. It's not something that...
Can I give you guys the story?
He's already
line?
Been the Tooth Fairy.
He basically is bad cuz he creates toys magically with the elves, right? And he it'd be cool if it was like a dystopian world where like this robot AI has robots building different toys and stuff like that. And he has to basically battle to take it over. And could you imagine like Santa coming in and just, I imagine him just battling like hundreds of these like robot droids, kind of like out of iRobot. They're all coming at him and he's like ripping them apart and shit. Anyway.
He battles this robot that's threatening to take over the distribution of toys called Amatron.
Keep going. Keep going.
Bezotron.
that's stealing Santa from the or stealing Christmas from the children, and he brings back the spirit of the season
through mass purchases on the internet. He somehow ties it all together,
and it's an AI that knows what you want before you even know
it. Already on your, it's already on your doorstep. Doors being rung.
Yeah,
it's like Minority Report, but for fucking shopping.
It's the naughty list.
It's the precog naughty list.
Oh my god! I think we're on. You write it up. Write up the fucking code. Yeah.
The naughty report.
Naughty report. And we'll be able to put in some fucking awesome product placement, so we'll be able to get some fat pay.
Some Sonos speakers up in that bitch in the background while it's all going
on. Oh, everything's going to be Samsung.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I mean, that's the easiest sponsor to reach to. Well, gentlemen, I mean, we missed a little bit in between, but I think our listeners deserve a break from us going hard in the paint for Christmas. That's our gift to them, is a nice, short, tight episode of some of our favorite Christmas things.
We decked the halls pretty well today.
I think we did deck the halls pretty well today.
And in honor of Christmas, we're going to see No Way Home soon.
Yeah, no, we are. We have that. Yeah, because we're recording this. Yeah, like December 18th.
I'm going to enjoy the spice melange for Christmas.
The spice melange? That's you. Yeah, because, well, like.
Dune.
I know.
I watched it last night.
Again?
Yeah, I was watching it with my father, and so I was gonna rent it on Prime.
Yeah,
it's $25 to just watch it for a 40-hour period, or for $5 more, you can just own it. So I was like, "Well, I guess I own this."
It's always good to have a digital copy because it's on you, and you can just rip it and put it on instead of having to suffer through Craves.
My only issue with digital copies is I worry that like the propaganda monster down the road might change little things to fit the wokeness of the time, because they disagree.
The propaganda monster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's the monster behind the scenes in Big Mouth that nobody sees. Everybody has a hormone monster, a love monster, the propaganda monster. It's yet to make it to the show.
Or the Goebbels monster, whatever you want to refer to it as.
Whatever. Point is, listener, we're going to give you a nice, short, tight episode, and I'm going to figure out what the hell happened to the board.
The military haircuts of episodes, if you will.
Yes, exactly. The high and tight. I like that. Good reference. So with that said, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Happy holidays. There'll be one more of these.
However you celebrate.
Yeah, however you celebrate. Doesn't matter. Like if
Happy Festivus.
Happy Festivus.
You had a good Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Happy
Kwanzaa. Yeah. All the ways.
Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year. Happy holidays. Happy commercialism.
I hope you have a good winter solstice.
Yeah. There you go. I think we've checked all the boxes.
Have we checked
if
all
we haven't.
We apologize if we have offended anybody or excluded anybody.
I'm not apologizing.
And to my Wiccan brethren out there.
I'm a Gen Xer. I'm not apologizing.
What's the Christmas equivalent for the Jedi? Because last time on the census and it said religion, I put Jedi in.
I think if you give that another 50,
would
it
I
might
actually filled out a long form one?
That's fine. I mean, I put on for the longest time on religion, I put George Carlin.
Nice.
Like that was my response to what I believe.
Well played.
You can identify as whatever you like.
Yeah. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to help the show out, subscribe to this madness that you've listened to today on whatever device you're listening to.
And if you don't like it,
well,
make a comment and tell us how to improve it.
That's perfect. Give us that for Christmas, ladies and gentlemen. Find us in the
or
comments.
Or challenge us to feats of strength.
Yeah. Meet us by the
and then we'll air our grievances.
Parking lot, 3 o'clock, bitches. Yeah, find us on Instagram, DM us on Twitter, find us on Facebook. If you have an idea, critique, or something you want to let us know about the show,
stitch us on TikTok.
Stitch us on TikTok and then be like, guys.
Is that the term? Stitching in on TikTok?
Stitching and dueling.
Wow, I became an old person. I don't even know about these lingo.
Yeah, no, I'll talk to you a bit later about it.
Great.
And so TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Real Debaters. All the spelling is R-E-E-L. TikTok is The Real Debaters. There's lots of fun, dumb shit. That's all our behind-the-scenes life stuff. That's how we movie.
It's R-E-E-L? Yeah. I've been Googling it wrong the whole time.
That's funny, because when you Google it, magically, that's the whole page. I get emails from people doing, hey, I know that, I'm sure the listener's not going to care, but they're like, you want good SEO? And I'm like, Google me. Google me and see what happens. It's the whole page, motherfucker. Fuck off. Anyways, but if you're so inclined to support us beyond subscribing
to the show.
He's
mastered the Google engine.
Yes. I figured out how the Googles work.
I have mastered the algorithms.
Yeah. No, whatever. Doesn't matter.
I will battle the AI.
Check the show notes. You can donate to our cause.
I'll take on the Bezotron.
With naughty or nice.
Check in the show notes. You can subscribe after you're done, but you can buy our merch and you can donate to our cause. Pocket
makes
change.
A good Christmas present, Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
Some real debater stuff.
Real debater swag makes great fucking Christmas presents. There's cheap shit. There's expensive shit. There's shit for every budget on there.
They'll put our shit on anything.
Yeah.
They don't put our name on anything.
They will fuck. They don't question anything.
You know, I'll give you a little piece of advice. Don't refer to the merchandise you're selling to as shit or cheap.
Our lovely... well-stocked, well-made merchandise from Threadless.com.
Depends what generation you are. Like, yeah. Things are the shit.
Yeah.
The shit.
I'm talking to, multiple it's
like
demographics.
It's like being
there.
Fat.
Yeah. PH.
Is that PH?
Yeah. Dope.
Could be a lot
That's
of things.
Sick.
Yeah. So those are all the ways. Subscribe, shop, or donate.
Smash
the subscribe button on your phone. Throw it on the ground. Subscribe. Do whatever you got to do. Merry Christmas, as we said. Happy holidays. I've been Michael Petro.
I'm Rob Strachan.
Mark Cowell.
Watch all the Christmas movies.
And to all a good night.
So much
Bye-bye.
For your so much for your only
Bye.
Mark.
Bye. Bye.
'To you fair Spanish ladies.
And just like that, you have another Real Debaters production in the can, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for listening to our shenanigans for another week. If this is your first time, if you've done this dance with us before, you've probably heard one or two of these things, but stick around. There might be something new for you. But if this is your first time and you're like, hey, I really like these guys, we're speaking to you. So if you want to help support the show, the easiest way to do so is to just hit that subscribe button in whatever device you are listening to us on. That ensures that we show up each week in your podcast player with another debate, another conversation, another interview, what have you. Whatever we do over here, we hope you enjoy, and that's the easiest way to support what we're doing over here, because that's the name of the game. Subscriptions rule all. If you're like, we want to see these guys thrive, the more of you that subscribe, the more likely we'll get some cool sponsors, some cool shit down the road one day, and that'll all be here. But for right now, it's just about how to support the show. So if you want to go beyond the subscription, if you want to step out of the free way to do so, and then get into the more monetized ways of supporting the show. There's two easy ways. You can debate to our cause. Debate. You can donate to our debater cause. Or you can shop our merch. There's a shop tab. There's a donation tab and a merch tab in the show notes. Pocket change we're talking about for donation, ladies and gentlemen. $1-$2 here. Goes back into production costs. Make sure we get to pay for a service that makes us sound better or be a part of something that educates us more. Either way, all of the monies raised go back into the purse of the Real Debaters that pays for all the shenanigans over here, which thus makes it better for you. The second way is if you want to shop our wares, right? We've got standard podcast merch, T-shirts, hats, hoodies. We have tights, socks, skateboards, fully customized with just the deck, cell phone covers, stickers, you name it, we have it. It's all in our prop shop. If you head to those two tabs and you want to support us in some way, shape, or form that, like I said, steps outside of the freeway, that is how you do so. If you want to stay in touch with us, if you want to communicate with us, send us an email at therealdebaters@gmail.com or follow us on any of our social media platforms. We're on all of them, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. The top five social media platforms for people who know how to talk about this shit younger than me. We're on it all. And you can listen to the show on Facebook. You can subscribe to the show on Instagram. You can see our behind the scenes on TikTok. There's a ton of different ways to stay in the know. That's about it. That's us. So if you like what you've listened to and you want to stick around, we hope you do. We want more fans. We'd love it. We want to interact with you. We don't have a comment section, as you can tell, so you have to email us at therealdebaters@gmail.com if you want to send us a suggestion or call out one of us on the show. Either way, that's it. That's a wrap. So we'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening, and watch all the movies.